going to teach somewhat on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, how many of you know in 50 minutes you can't tell all about the gifts of the Spirit? I don't know if you could do it in a month, but it's just an inexhaustible subject. Hallelujah. I think Howard Carter had probably the best revelation knowledge of the Spirit. And I was around Dad Summerall saying I learned some things about the gifts. He was a wonderful spiritual giant. I remember going over to the Philippines years ago, 1979, 1980, and he told his son was sitting up with him in first class, and he said, go back and get Brother Ed. He came in, and you sit in his seat, and he's going to sit by me. And for 2.5 hours, as we're going over the Pacific Ocean in a 747, he started teaching me and showing me how to cast out devils and told me about different things. Well, see, that's a father sitting down with a son and imparting things. And he imparted things into me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And taught me some things about the gifts. And then Dad Hagen, of course, he was my main feeder. He fed me, praise the Lord, through his tapes and books and being around him. I remember, 4 months before he died, we were in a meeting. He did 2 nights, and then I did 2 meetings. He did a Thursday night, Friday night there in Charlotte. And then I did Saturday night and Sunday morning. Mitch was with me on that trip. And we were sitting around the table afterwards. You know, they had this big tent outside because they didn't have enough room for the dining. It was a brand new building they were dedicating, and he came to dedicate it. Cheryl Jackson and her husband were the pastors there. And he leaned over to me, and I'm just sitting there, you know, I was just being quiet, you know, everybody else is talking. I mean, here they got this great general, and everybody's yinking, yinking. So I'm just being quiet. I want to, you know. And he goes like this. He said, and he leans over, he says, the dam's about ready to break on you. I said, well, the dam, well, that could mean a lot of things. Could be a dam of tests and trials. You know what I'm talking about? Or a dam of, you know, temptations or something coming on you. And then he went back over. He said, the gifts and the Spirit in your ministry is going to start operating in a strong way. He said, the dam's about ready to break. Just sitting there, you know, waiting for our supper. We're just sitting there. He's just sitting there tiddling his thumbs, you know, and I'm just being quiet. Everybody, of course, is trying to get my attention to talk to me. I said, be quiet. I don't want to talk. I'm sitting next to the man. And he did. He leaned over and said something. And then he said some other things. Hallelujah. You know, the problem with the church today, 90% of them don't listen. Most Christians don't listen. Well, how do you know that? Well, because they live in poverty. They barely make it. 97% of God's people. How do you know that? Because he came into my room and taught me about true prosperity. Yeah. And that's why I'm blessed today, because of what he taught me in Peru. I was down in Peru 6 years ago for Jim Andrews, which comes every year to our fresh oil. Tremendous. Well, he's an apostle. He's a missionary apostle.
Yeah.
And I was down there praying, and God came in my room, and he told me 97% of my people live beneath what I provided for them. And the whole body of Christ. So only 3% is living. And he said one thing is the problem because of what they say. They're not talking right. If you know the law of saying and what it sets in motion. Hallelujah. I have money because I say so. I set it in motion with my saying. Because it's available, God provided it for his children, but you got to get it to move. You got to learn how God does things and get it moving. Are you listening? But he said 97%. Well, we wouldn't have so many if God's people would listen, they'd live in divine health. But they don't, because they get mad, they get in unforgiveness, strife, and don't walk in love and talk about other people.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Why in the building? And I'm not talking about myself. I don't care if there's 5 or 2,000. Don't matter to me. But why aren't there more people coming to services like this? Because there's no hunger.
Amen.
And see, the only way you're going to have the gifts of the Spirit is to have a hunger.
Yes, sir.
Now look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll start with the 31st verse, and then we'll go to the first verse. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet. Hunger. Now, I'm going to blow you out. The gifts of the Spirit don't come by praying or fasting. They come by hunger. You have to have a hunger for those things to happen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Or ask him. I guess asking is a form of prayer. But if you're going to have him, you're going to have a hunger for him. I don't know about you. I'm hungry.
Amen.
Amen. Well, see, too many people, there's so much distractions today. Jobs, busy, this, some working 24/7 and trying to make things ends meet. And they miss church. Not forsaking the assembling together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You just remember, every time you miss a church service, you're missing the time to grow.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Glory be to God. People said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. What thing? Material things will be added to you.
Yes. Amen.
But see what they're doing? They've got a flip-flop, and they're sinking all the material things.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Come on, talk to me.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Your prosperity is connected to your local church.
Yes.
Bar none. That's what he told me down in Peru. He said that. See, that's the way. He said Abraham, he was blessed with what? Cattle, silver, and gold. But Papa don't realize that he brought his children upright, and that's what God honored him and blessed him, because he brought his children upright. And matter of fact, that's the seed that he brought through that brought Jesus on this earth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. But if you're going to have the gifts in operation, you got to covet them. You got to be hungry for them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got to have a hunger for them. And that's really... That's when you're going to have revival in your church, especially when the ministers hunger for them.
Yes. Yes.
It's too much satisfaction.
Amen.
I get my check and everything's fine. I got a home, everything is fine, and I just want a sweet church.
Yeah.
No, I've been saying I don't want a sweet church. We have a sweet church, but I don't want just a sweet church. I want a radical church where the gifts of the Spirit and the operation. It's going to be the Word and the Spirit.
Yes.
Speaking in tongues is the door to the supernatural. Speaking in tongues is the door to the supernatural.
Yes.
And most churches don't even talk about it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I remember when I first got saved, I got saved in an Assembly of God church, and praise God for them. They believed in salvation. I praise God for that. But they didn't allow anything in the main service. They just had what they call afterglow. An afterglow service out there, and it was behind, you go through a door and you go in the back, and then they had afterglow. Well, you can't put the Holy Ghost in a back room and call it afterglow. He don't want no after, he wants before. He wants to flow if you're going to have these kind of manifestations in our services. Now, since I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't know, I've just always been a Holy Ghost man. And really, that's been the trademark of my ministry. Many have said, well, you're going to have Dr. Dufresne, you're going to have the anointing there. You're going to have things that change. And there's some that are jealous. There's some that will say all different kinds of things. Some will say things to counteract. I remember not very far from here in a town. I remember God reminded me of it just yesterday. And I was praying about it, and I said, I forgot all about that. I was over here by, what is it, 99 that goes through your city there, not very far there. And I remember, I said, now there's somebody in here that you're sleeping with somebody, and it ain't your wife. And you better stop it. Now, what was that? That was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom what was going to happen.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know if you remember that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. He put it to my remembrance. Because a lot of those things, I'll get in the service and say those things, and I forget all about it. I leave town. I don't want to touch it with my thought line. Well, you know, you can get wondering. See, what happens if you get into your mind, you'll talk yourself out of it.
Amen.
God will tell you something, and if you get into your mind, then your mind, you'll talk yourself out of delivering those things. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Well, what was that? That was a word of knowledge, what was happening at that time, and then a word of wisdom if they didn't stop it. Right in the church.
Yes, amen.
Yep. Well, it was the leadership that were involved. Hallelujah. Now look at here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you stupid. Now I understand ignorant. How about for the educated people, misinformed? You know how they put different names on it, but I understand stupid. Ignorant, that he don't want us stupid about spiritual things.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
But you know the church is the most ignorant about it.
Yeah.
Most churches don't even operate. Most churches, if the Holy Ghost came in with a green hat, they would stop it at the door and say, no, we're not having that here. We're not having that stuff here.
That's right.
And then he turns around and goes out. If you don't want it here, it won't happen.
Right.
And he'll let you do your plans, your purposes, and end up dead. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a dead church? Some churches, I can't tell the difference between a funeral and their services. No, that's the truth. I said that's the truth. Actually, the original says, now concerning spirituals, now concerning spiritual things that pertain to the Spirit. That gives is italicized, and that was added in by the King James Version of people, interpreters, you know, because they try to make it easier, but they can't really kind of confuse us here. You could be confused. He's talking about now concerning, or the things that pertain to the Spirit, I don't want you ignorant.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, as a pastor, you should be able to pastor your church supernaturally by the gifts.
Yeah.
If any gift, what I would ask God for and covet as a pastor is the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And that way you'll know what's going on. Nobody will bring, oh, did you know this was going on? No, I didn't know it. You would know it by the Spirit because God would show it to you. That's the way we pastor World Harvest.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I told my wife the other day, I said, we got a girl there that is working for us there, and, you know, something ain't right. Something just ain't right. Something ain't right. You know, right in here. So you got to follow that. I said, something ain't right. Oh, you know, you think, well, she's just so sweet. I said, no, something ain't right.
That's right.
You see, you keep your church clean. Sure enough, you know, and I felt, I'm letting her go. When I let her go, it all blew up.
That's right. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Had to ask her to leave the office the other day. She was just having a fit.
Yeah.
Because that way we let her go. I mean, just like night and day. Francine was my second. She was blowing out. She says, my God, she never act that way right now. No, as long as you're paying her and everything else. But she didn't get her way. She blew up and had a fit. And, you know, that excuse, call yourself Christian. She got no love.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that? No love? Yeah, just like a police officer, you're doing 90 miles an hour. You don't have no love, God, because they're giving you a ticket and you broke their law. Now they're bulls, caught, you know, picking on me because I'm brown or I'm black or I'm yellow. That's the reason you stopped me. Glory be to God. No, have you ever thought if you was going 90 miles an hour, it's your fault, dummy?
Yeah.
Trying to blame everybody else?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what Christians do. They try to blame everybody else. They try to blame the pastor. They get mad at the church, so they blame them. It's all their fault. Help these people. They were living in poverty. They didn't have a place to live. We gave them a place to live. People in our car. We got five different men that run dealerships. Got them into a car. Helped them out. Give them a place to live. Put clothes on them. People in the church gave them, furniture in their house. And now, you ain't no Christian. You ain't got no love. But see what I'm saying, all this is the fact. See, I kept on saying. Actually, I told my wife, I felt we shouldn't have done it in the first place. but I let you override me because they were working in the house and different things like that.
Mm.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Glory be to God. I said glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Nothing has to happen to you without you knowing it. If you pray in the Holy Ghost and get into the door of the supernatural, nothing would come your way.
Come on.
But most Christians don't. They get into the whys. Well, why didn't it happen to me? When you get in the whys, you get in unbelief. You get into wondering.
Yeah.
And wonder who wrote the book of love. You know. Wondering is double-mindedness.
Oh, yeah.
Are you listening to me? Glory be to God.
Glory.
Are you listening? The devil can't get to you unless you let him. Listen, one step out of love and he can get you. As long as you're walking in love, he can't touch you. I mean, you get out of love, run as fast as you can to it. You get a church and get the pastor and wife fussing and getting strife, the devil will get in there and your whole church will have strife. And you say, amen. No, he can't touch me. I've never had an engine and all the airplanes, all the miles. I flew over 11 million miles just in airlines since 1965. And I've never had an engine, never had an airplane, emergency landing, or anything. The only time I had anything happen to me is I allowed some sickness to get in me, and I got it because of disobedience. I disobeyed him and taking a day off and resting, and the other was not operating in the prophet's anointing when he told me to say something. I said, I got so I didn't want to talk about it because I got persecuted. I said, that's none of my business, Lord. That's none of my business. I'm staying out of it. He said, well, it better be your business because that's what you call. I said, give me a ministry like Jesse the Planist. Get everybody laughing and leave town with a truck full of money. I get up, there's somebody in here sleeping with so-and-so, and you've been in Holiday Inn at 2409 or something like that. Give the room number and everything. Have that. See, he don't want us to be ignorant. See, you can have the gifts. Now, I'm not talking about there'd be in certain areas in an office that'd be stronger than other areas. But just in everyday life, you can have these gifts.
Yeah.
You have a word of wisdom, and God will show you what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
That you can be prepared for it.
Yeah.
I know when my family's, if some of them are going to pass away. I know it by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
I said, glory be to God. Now, don't lie to me. How many of you spend at least a half an hour a day praying in the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. This is just a half an hour. Well, maybe one quarter of this congregation. And you wonder why you're ignorant concerning the devil's devices.
Wow.
Come on. Right.
Yes, right. Let me see. Praying in tongues is the door into the supernatural.
Oh, yes.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I get more done in my prayer room than I can going out and fighting everybody.
Yeah.
That's what kills a lot of preachers, having a fighting spirit, fighting with everybody.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
Condemning everybody. Putting curses with your mouth on everybody.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We tell people, if you're going to go, just leave right. We ain't going to put no curse on you.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Amen.
Well, you're so eager for us to go. I said, yeah, because I'm planting a seed. I'll get five or six families back, but not like you.
Amen.
Well, moving right now concerning spiritual, things that pertain to the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. Now, go to the fourth. Now, there are differences of gifts. Now, that was in the original. But the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. Alright? The same Lord. I believe Jesus is the ministrator of these gifts. I believe the operations is that God is behind that he works through the head, which is Jesus. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man the prophet withal. Well, see, when you have the Spirit, these will manifest in your life as the Spirit wills, for you can profit.
Yes.
You can even profit financially.
Amen.
I mean, if you got the word of wisdom and you got the word of knowledge and stuff, you'll know what to invest. There ain't one Christian that would ever lose money if they listened to the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't have bought that piece of junk of a car if you just listened to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows about that car. You got to go by this. And what do? We override the voice of the Lord in our heart. And when we override it, then that's when we get in trouble. With long life, the Lord said He'd satisfy us with long life. In other words, you don't have to go until you get satisfied. Well, I want to live 500 years. You're lying about it. Who would want to live on this earth for 500 years? You understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. No, when you get done, when you feel that you're satisfied, you know, everything's in order and you've fulfilled what God told you to do. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I know I can go till almost 87 because my spiritual father, that's how far he went. See, whoever you follow is usually about the time you're going to die as they die. So you better be careful who you're following.
Yeah. Come on.
No, that's right. I said, that's right. That's why I'm following. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. See, like David Vivas, I remembered his name.
Yes.
See, he's connected with Fred Price. Well, Fred Price is a good one to follow. He's been around. He's got a good ministry. He's got a clean ministry. Watched him through the years. Praise the Lord. You can't go wrong. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But there are differences, but the manifestation of spirits everywhere. Now, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, what's that? That's about the future. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, actually, these two is what a pastor should ask for, that primarily that he ought to operate in to help him pastor the church. Because he could know things that are about to happen in the future. You can be, while you're preaching, God can tell you somebody what's, they're back there talking about you. I remember me and my wife were laying in bed. It happens a lot to us. We're laying in bed and the Lord showed me that one of the guys in our church, he had a heavy click and I was bothered by it. See, the Bible didn't talk about clicks. The Bible doesn't talk about friendship. It talks about fellowship. There's a difference. Friendship bring clicks.
Yes, amen.
It brings clicks, and then if you get an offense to one of the clicks, then they try to pull the people. They try to take their offense, put it on these other people, and take it with them. So you got to watch it. So, but if you're by the Spirit, you know. So what I did, so the Lord was showing me. Now they were down at not Mimi's, but Coco's. They were down at Coco's. The Lord showed me the Coco's was right in our town, and I saw this man, and he was talking to about four or five families. They're all eating. Supposed to have fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't having fellowship. They were having dissecting Dr. Dufresne and the teaching about tithing because he didn't believe the way we taught on tithing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, what's left over you ought to tithe on. So he said, I disagree. And he was telling them, you know, and he got his Bible in the way he thought. Now, what, how do you get fed? Didn't say, you know, hallelujah, without a sheep. No, it said without a shepherd.
Yes, right.
See, never listen to anybody that's trying to tell you something, what the pastor's teaching. Just say, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave now because I understand the laws of fellowship. And I'm not breaking fellowship with my feeder, and I'm not breaking off my supply. See, even if you go to another church, but if that's the church God hooked you up with and that's the supply, you won't get it over there. Doesn't matter how great preacher, what a nice, you know, carnival they have every year or whatever. Hallelujah. So what was that? Well, that was a word of knowledge and came to me in a vision form because I saw him. Hallelujah. And I saw all that. Then I had a word of wisdom in a vision form and I saw me preaching and talking about it. I said, okay, I told my wife I'm preaching in the morning. That was a Saturday night. Got up and I said, now I had a vision and there was four families and there was one fella and I told him and I saw him turn white as a sheet. So I got him. And I said, now how many of you know that you know, the Bible talks about, you know, without a shepherd, you're what? Scattered and what? And faint. I said, now if you want to be scattered and you want to faint, you go ahead and listen to that fella, because he's not a shepherd. We're your shepherd. We put you, that's supplying. And that guy turned white as a sheep, man. And he was trying to be cool because he didn't want anybody else. But the other families, they weren't like that, and they were looking at him. Well, they don't do that around our place. Very seldom, you know. I mean, there's time when we have to clean up.
Yeah.
You gotta understand. Now, don't get offended if you're in the doctor's office. But every healthy body has a bowel movement. And when there's waste and there's yoke, because we have anointed church, the yokes will be busted if you don't become a sheep and quit being a yoke.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Last night was different. Tonight I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Instructing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, eventually, of course, he didn't leave the church the next day. He wanted to save grace. But after about a couple months, finally he left. And I'm glad, because he was teaching things against the leadership. He had a problem about the tithe.
Amen.
Matter of fact, that man in our town and another family started their own church and had a hireling punk come in. And they say it's his church, but they're running it. Because that's what they tried to do with me and my wife. They ain't going to do it.
Amen.
I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at anybody. But I know where that place is heading. Let me tell you something. God puts a pastor in, not a board to run the pastor. That's why a lot of those board members die in their 50s. Yeah, because they run the pastor, and that ain't the way a church is run. I wish I had a friend in here. These preachers help me a little bit up here in the front row. I'm trying to help you out. Glory to God. No apostle runs your church. Now, you could be connected and everything else, but you are, actually, you're the apostle over that work. I don't know why I'm off on that, but it's you're the apostle of this work. Now, they recognize me, you know, we're connected, we're all family, and through Pastor Art and everything else, and we have honor for him, but he's the pastor. Can you say amen? Well, anyway, I thought I'd share that with you, you know, praise the Lord. You can have a word of wisdom one time. What's going to happen if you now don't do this or word of knowledge? But most Christians live in the natural. Well, he said it there. There's four different kinds of dirt. There's three kinds of dirt in Mark 4. Study it later. In Mark 4, it talks about four different types of dirt. Three types will never produce any fruit. And really, that's the turnover will be in your church if you really think about it. And then there's those that heard the word and received it. And they produced 30. Even some of those didn't produce 100-fold. Hallelujah. Usually in a church, you might have just a little handful of 100-fold people, I call them. A real strong core. They got good ground. Well, how do you get good ground? By receiving your pastor. That's what the visitations from God are all about. God puts you with a visitation. The only visitation you got, unless you had a vision, is your man that God puts in your life, or woman puts in your life as a minister. Because about every joint supply. See, that's your supply. See, I stayed with my supplies. When I pastored, I stayed with John Osteen. I stayed with Dad Hagen. Dad Hagen always pointed to the local church. You never want to listen to people that despairingly put the local church down. I never do that. I don't care the size of the church, storefront, or anything else. Are you listening to me? Because when you talk against the body of Christ, you're talking against Jesus. Because I tell travel men, because, you know, I travel, so they ask me questions. I get around. Not very many of them last around me. No, I don't, because I tell them like it is. We're eating today. There's just things that I say by the Spirit. And they say, well, I went over there and they ripped me off. I said, they wouldn't even pay my airfare, and they wouldn't do this, and they wouldn't do that, and blah, blah, and he said, these pastors. I said, you better quit doing that. They're not your source anyway. Now, they should treat them right, because it'll come back on them. I said, it'll come back on them. I've seen churches that didn't take care of traveling ministers. I don't know how I got off on this. Hallelujah. Now, they're taking good care of me. Don't think anything. They are. They're taking good care of me. You see that bus out there? They're taking good care of us. Amen. And we're not in the Roach Motel either, so.
Thank God, I used to stay in those, but not no more. I said, no, that you're looking to them as your paycheck. They're not your paycheck. You just tell them, go there, pay your expenses, and pass the bucket. And then your face involved in it. And then I tell pastors. He says, well, that guy, he talking about it. I said, yeah, well, I'll tell you what to do. 6 weeks before a minister come in, take an extra offering at the end of your Sunday morning service, and then you got everything taken care of. You know, this all works if you use wisdom. Instead of waiting to get in convention, that's all you're thinking about. Oh, how am I going to pay for all this? And then you can't have a meeting because you're worried about money. Amen. I tell people, if they have a bad time about paying my expenses, we're not going because they have a problem.
Amen.
You can't flow because everybody's worried about money. Everybody's worried they're going to get their piece. Amen. God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. I just say if it's a money issue, we don't go. Now, it ain't on our side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when I first start out, I'd pay them for me to come to their church. But when you know, when you get notability and you know, you get a good sounded ministry, you know, the Lord said, now, they should take care of you. Don't go. Amen. You should have some honor like that.
Amen.
How'd I get off on this? I think like I'm preaching at a minister's meeting. I was going to say funeral, and I almost said it right. Some of those meetings are so dead. Come in late all the time. Anyway, I don't get on that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You're all here, I know. Praise the Lord. You can tell it's one of my pet peeves. Anyway. Moving right along. Now, what are we talking about? Well, I remember I was in a church, you know, with the office of a prophet now. It's usually word of wisdom, word of wisdom, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge, and working a miracle and discerning of spirits. Actually, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge operate primarily in my ministry. Now, there's endowments that on my life for healing. And that ain't the gifts of the Spirit. That's an endowment. That's different. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit's involved, but it ain't part of these gifts here. It's not the gifts of healing that operate. It's a tangible anointing, and there's a difference. When I get on it, it's just like my arm comes on fire. Well, that's an endowment. God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, that's not the gifts. That's why a lot of guys operate with the gifts of healing, go for hours and hours, and you have somebody has the anointing for the laying on of hands and what it is transmitting. It's like I'm talking about right now, the hot coal of fire in my palm of my hand.
Amen.
See, that's the lay hands and transmit healing power. That's the different than the gifts of healing.
Yes.
And then that anointing goes into them and works a cure, drives out sickness and disease, cancer, or whatever it is.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. See, we need to teach on these things, get a hunger for them, we get them operating in our services.
Amen.
How's your sister doing? She's eating Taco Bell, enchiladas, and what?
Today, I believe we got a hot dog.
Hot dog.
Chili.
Huh?
Chili hot dog.
Chili hot dog. And a couple of days ago, she couldn't even, the smell of food made her sick. Now, we went in there and laid hands, all of us ministered. I mean, we jumped up on the devil and laid hands on her, and I felt the anointing go in her. Felt it go in her. Well, see, far as I'm concerned, she's healed. That anointing went out, went in. But that's a different operation. Like if somebody gets a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, in a vision form, said on TV, and said, now I see a lady, she's laying in a hospital, and she's being healed right now of blood cancer or whatever. Now, that's a gift of healing. It has a difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because the reason I'm saying that, I thought everybody know, but they don't. Because I had a minister ask me the other day, we're all out for lunch. He said, well, I don't understand how that works. You mentioned that in one of your services. I said, well, there's a special anointing that was on Paul, and that was anointing the transfer, healing power, into the sick. See, it's not really, we don't call them prayer lines. We call them transmission lines. We lay hands on the sick. There's a difference. I advertised that years ago, and Jesus appeared to me and rebuked me. It's the only time I really got rebuked, I mean, an official. He said, I didn't tell you to have prayer lines. I told you to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover with a special anointing. Now, corporately speaking, that is everybody, because it says for the body to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Mm-hmm.
Corporately speaking. But then there are men, because of the office they walk in, they get a special anointing. Hallelujah. And that's what's in my hands. See, praise God. It's a special anointing. Now, I'm not bringing attention to myself. I'm bringing attention to that gift. That's why he had me go down. We went down to minister to sister because he knew I had a special anointing to kill cancer. That's an endowment. That's another sermon in itself. That's another tape. You understand what I'm talking about? You getting something out of this? See, see, told me one day, you know, he knows about your mother. He knows about your Hawaiian, Puerto Rican, whatever.
Yeah.
I got more information about you today.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. Good information.
Okay.
I was thinking about that, and he's telling me all the different nationalities. I said, you know, if we stay around another 1,000 years, we'd all be the same color because we're all blending in, you know. Then who are we going to hate? Glory to God. I said, glory. I got a painter contract in my church. I said, now, I want you to put white, yellow, black, brown, what am I missing? And red. And mix it up and see what color. I said, now, that's what God sees in all of us. That's why we're one-third black, one-third Hispanic, and then the rest of us, mutts. Yeah, they say by 2010 that we're going to be the minorities.
Yeah.
Now I can get the big government contracts. The reason I said that because I used to have a janitorial service. I had my own business. And I'd go into government and try to get those bids. And they said, no, that's just a minority. You're the wrong cover. That's what they told me. But I did get some contract, but I didn't get the big ones. Anyway, I was just thinking that. Anyway, praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Where was I now? I can remember where I was at.
We were talking about his sister.
Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, right. Good. Yeah, you did pretty good. Hallelujah. But see, these gifts, you see, be powerful. Now, I was in a meeting, and it wasn't my church, it was a camp meeting. And I was one of the guest speakers. Mark Brzee was a guest speaker. Bob Lemon was a guest speaker. I don't know if they were guest speakers, just there. Lynn Mink, you know, works for Brother Copeland, lead singing, he was there. And he was singing, I was speaking that night. Probably about 1,200 people in the service that night. And I got up. As soon as I got up, he said, now, as soon as Lynn Meek is done, I already told him to go ahead like that to you, and then you can come up. That way, I already introduced him before the music, so you just come up. So I came up, and when I did, the Spirit of God came on me. And I said this, it came out of my mouth, and before I could grab my words, it came out. There are three couples in here swapping wives.
Wow.
And I went, my God. And it got quiet, just like you all did. It got quiet. Well, I know, see, in operation, God will give me a word of knowledge in a vision form. Now, why did he do that? Because he'd been dealing with the pastor. He'd been dealing with the pastor he knew about it, and he wasn't doing anything about it. He was lying in the church. Now, I want to tell you, see, now, if you know that's going on in your church, a lot of people don't want to deal with it. That's why you got all the junk you got in big churches. They got junk in them.
Yeah.
Homosexuals, everything.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with it because they'd rather have big crowds than have a bowel movement.
Yeah, come on.
Keep it clean, but you're gonna have to answer to God for that.
Oh, yes.
See, every minister is gonna be judged by the fruit that he had in his ministry.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
Come on.
Oh yes.
And also, you're gonna be judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah. I'm not going to talk about people. I'm always going to talk there's all right about issues. And when you're a leader in the body of Christ, there's certain things that you got to deal with.
Amen.
But if you talk about other people, you talk about the against the body of Christ, you talk about another Christian, you talk about preachers all the time, you're going to get in trouble with God because you're not discerning the Lord's body. That for this cause many are weak, sickly, and many die.
Amen.
That don't mean they didn't go to heaven, but they just died premature. Because later on, I grabbed my eye and I said, now what am I going to do? He says, you tell them to come up here and repent. He said, they've been doing it openly. Now you got to deal with it openly. Now here's something we need to learn. And this is wisdom. God is something. Now, he said, now if people were doing it secretly, then you deal with it. You understand? But if they're defying and kept doing it openly, then it has to be dealt with openly. Paul did it. He turned their bodies over to Satan for the destruction of them because they wouldn't repent. There was a man's son, and he had his wife going to bed having sex.
That's right.
That's a good way to lose your church.
Oh, yeah.
God ain't going to put up with that.
That's right.
You think you're getting away with it, but you're not.
Come on.
Amen. My God. I mean, just to think of doing that to your sheep. Just because you got a problem. I don't want to go down that road. But we're coming. We're coming in there where it's not going to be put up with no more. Judgment's happening in the house of the Lord. We're coming into it. This fall, you're going to start seeing. Hey. No more. I said no more. How dare you use your office and take advantage of other people because they look to you. They don't think you're great. They just see the anointing on you, and they think that because of that great anointing, then they think you're great.
Yeah.
Right. If you're doing something other than your mate, even if you're single, you're a dog.
Come on, Doctor. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Sure is different. I wish you'd start calling out colors of cars. But it's the truth. These things are going to have to be said. Now, you see what I mean? I'd like to have a ministry like Jesse to plan this. But I ask God, he won't answer me. In other words, no. Just do what I tell you to do. You got to do. Can you say amen? And they didn't come up, those three people. Didn't come up. I said, now what do you want me to do? Now, when I said that, Len Mink fell off. See these flowers there? They had a beautiful planter, and he fell back in the planter. He said he fell out under the power. I said, no, you bailed out on me, dude. You bailed out on me. We see each other. I said, you bailed out on me years ago. That was 1983, the latter part of 83, and 80, actually the first part of 84. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. Glory be to God. And they didn't come up. And I'm sitting there now. Everybody's staring at me. And the Lord said, tell Mark Brzee. Now, back then, he was just a teacher. You tell Mark to go in this. There was three big sections. Because 1,200 people, a big set. He said, you tell Mark to go in this section, you take the middle section, and you tell Bob Lemon, and I'll lead you to the men. Oh, my God. And then I told them, and they turned white as a sheet. I mean, they were shaking like that.
Yeah.
And I did. And I went out, and the Lord showed me who one man was, and I went before him. I said, you're the man. Now, you got to understand, I'm brain dead at this time. Because if I got in my mind, I'd have destroyed that night. I'm out on a limb right now, man. I mean, I'm out. I had to finish it out. And the Lord took me to him. The man said, you're wrong, preacher. It ain't me. I said, yes, it is you. And I stood there and looked at him. And finally, he started shaking under the power. And he said, yeah, it's me. And then the Lord, the other two fellows, took him right to them. And they came. Yeah, it was them. Well, then after all that happened, I mean, everybody was scared of me. I mean, you talk about trying to have a meeting, you know. You just... That church, within 14 months, went down to nothing. Because the pastor took it as a negative. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. There's times I'll be preaching and there'll be a couples in there and the Lord said they're sleeping together. Now, what do you do about that? Sometimes I won't say anything. I just know it. Now, you want me to tell the pastor, or what do you want me to do? Sometimes he says, no, he won't listen. He won't do nothing about it. See, that's word of knowledge. And then he'll show me the word of wisdom. My wife has got a journal. When she started having children, she didn't travel with me that much. But when she's with me, she writes down. Mitch does it now. See, he's over there writing down. He's writing down to keep a journal. And they write down the miracles, and then the testimonies afterwards that come in. We like to write them down, things that I say. And my wife wrote a journal for the years that she traveled with me, and she said, you know, I checked all, and every one of those come to pass. She said, you get up and say that you're a human and you can miss it, but she says, I've never seen you miss it. I said, yeah, but I want to make sure, me saying I never miss it, then I can miss it, because I'm a human being. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's good for me to know that I could miss it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But she said, different one. You said this pastor was going to drop dead. And he did. I go back to the room. I said, he's diddling that girl over there, and he's doing this, and he's going to drop dead. Or he's going to have a heart attack, and he'd be all messed up the rest of his life. See, that's why we need judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's too much of that going on. God puts you in an office, and then you defile that office and take advantage of the fruit that He gives you.
Amen.
And there's a lot, I'm saying it by the Spirit of God. And there's a lot of defiling going on right now. Are you listening to me? You think about that. In a church of 300, there's at least 10 women that think that they'll do anything to go to bed with the male pastor. Oh, yeah. They're deceived, but they just, whatever, because their husband, they're not spiritual. They see that man up there all the time walking in his authority. And then the stupid guy, he'll think, I'm something else, aren't I? No, they're in love with anointing come on you, idiot. Don't fall for the devil tactics. Glory to God. That's why I travel with somebody. I've had women knock on my door and says, you got a word for me? I said, yeah, get out of here. I locked that door. You ain't doing it. I looked through. That's what that peephole's for. What do you want? Said, I had one lady tell me, well, I'm called to minister to you while you're on the road. I said, there's no mediator between man and wife. My wife meets all my needs in that area, so you. Well, I'm trying to bring hell in my ministry. Hell on that. Are you listening to me? Bless the hearts and stupid heads.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. I said, glory to God. You getting anything out of that?
Oh, yeah. Good.
You see, that's why we need the gifts of the Spirit. That's why we got to have a hunger. You could fast and pray, but you got to have a hunger.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
And I'm believing God to change the culture of California. Busy, busy, busy. They can't come. They can't do this. They're working and everything else. That's why we teach our people about the local church. We teach people real strong how important. See, you got to teach your people how important it is for coming together at church.
Amen.
And we tell them, I say, if you have to work 24/7, then you have to work too much. I said, God will take care of you. He'll see you in church and He'll bless you. And then He'll bless the families that raise their children right.
Amen.
Well, my children won't come to church. That's because you taught them and you showed them it was all right to work on Sundays. You taught them as they were growing up, and then that's the way they went. However how you bring them up, that's the way they're going to go. Well, that ain't true. I brought my daughter up right, and she took off. She'll come back.
Yeah.
If you brought her up right, she'll come back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 Well, I just can't take it. She's out there sleeping with guys. Well, sin is sin, honey. Your gossip is worse than what she's doing.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
I'll tell you the power of forgiveness. It's a little different tonight, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. But the manifestation will be given to every man to profit with all. See, He wants us to profit in life. And you can profit in every area of your life with these gifts. I'm glad that was put into profit with all. Hallelujah. Isn't it, wouldn't it be nice? When you know people that are not right and getting around your kids, and you can do something about it. I have never seen so many stupid parents today in my life. They let their kids go over to other kids and spend all night and everything. Don't even know who's over there. could mess around, touch them, and mess them up for life. Stupid. No, we've never. If they're going to stay over, they stay over our house. Or my son's allowed to stay over at his house because I've been around him for 12, 15 years. I know what their home is like.
Yeah.
But that's the only one he can go stay with. There's others in the church, but not everybody has the standard in the church. And we're not letting our boys go to their house.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. He's allowed to go. That's really over your house, and there's another one. Grant. And somebody said, you know, had to come to my church. He came for 7 months. He said, nobody could live that standard. I'm going over to this other church. He says, man, they don't care what you do over there. But the Dufresnes is different. Then we had another person that left, and after a year and a half, they told somebody else. He said, you know, we've been going to this church. It's got so much junk. Now we know why the Dufresnes keep their church so clean. Might be a slower growth.
It's all right.
But it's a clean church. And we got the power in there. I said, and they come from all over to get healed. Then, like you said, then some of them just go right back to their old dead church, and that old sickness comes back on them.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you get anything out of this?
Good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Now, tomorrow night, we'll talk about the other gifts. The working of miracles and stuff. Why? Because pastors, if we're going to have these in our church, we're going to have to teach the people about them and for them to get a hunger. They have to hear about it, faith coming by hearing, and then have a hunger for these to be in operation. You understand what I'm talking about? God gave us a taste last night. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
With that in operation. Now, you'll see more of that in, of course, a prophet's anointing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you can operate it in your home and around where you're at. But if you see, most of you don't speak in tongues. Then you're Pentecostal, full gospel.
Hallelujah.
And you'd be surprised that that is a high rate compared to most churches.
Yes.
We don't pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, I haven't got time. But you can pray going to work. Shatamayah, kititini, makaputuda. That opens the door to the supernatural.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You want to know another reason why people are pooped, tired? They say they got to have an energy pill or you know, iron or something. If they would pray at least a half an hour a day, you would not be wore out.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Yeah, you know, a lot of pastors, well, they're concerned about their people getting wore out if they had a week-long meeting. No, that's the time of times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. But if they would pray in the Holy Ghost before they come to service, you'd be surprised how much deeper the meetings would be. But a pastor has to deal with tired people. Well, I worked hard today. And I'm not belittling that. You probably did. But if you pray in the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be tired. You wouldn't be wore out all the time. Well, I don't believe that. Well, disprove it. Probably don't pray in tongues enough. If you're going to walk in the supernatural, you need to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Instead of gossiping. Every person that starts out with God first thing in the morning will never fail. Never. Stand up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What people ask me, now what do you do to prepare yourself? Well, sometimes the Lord will have me, you know, go over the scriptures that where I'm preaching or he's going to lead me. Sometimes I won't even know until I get there. See, last night I knew I couldn't get a message. So usually he said, you're going to flow that night. So use it because the message flies away.
Yeah.
And you can't, it's hard to preach a message that flew away. It'll be just dry as can be. You know what I'm, so I get up and then the first thing that comes to me, then I start flowing that way. That's how I learned to do it through the years. Because if the unction ain't there to preach, you see, hallelujah. When you got this kind of music and praising God, and they're expecting for that prophet's anointing to flow. Now, you can't force it, because then you open yourself up to different spirits, familiar spirits, and so forth like that. But what I do, I just wait on time. See, a lot of preachers, and the reason their ministries fail and they're so carnal is because they don't spend time with God. See, after 2 o'clock, my practice is by 2, I'm in my room. Sometimes it's a little later, but then sometimes it's earlier. But I get in my room. Now, what do you do? Where it's just everything is shut down. You don't have people around talking to you. And you just shut down and you can hear. Especially in the prophet's anointing, you have to do that. And that's been my custom. I remember I was in a convention and we went out to lunch with the pastor and the guest speaker, the other guest speaker, and myself. And I said, well, I need to be back by 2. He said, well, you ain't speaking tonight. Why don't you go to the show with us? We got through eating. I said, what do you mean the show? He said, well, we're going down. There's a good movie, and it starts at 3:30. We'll get back by 5:30 or 6, and we can still get in the shower. I said, yeah, but aren't you speaking tonight? He said, now, don't try to get religious on me. Well, see, I'm going in my room. Even I'm not preaching. I want to be prepared for the service and pray for the service. I'm there. They're not paying me to go play golf. I'm not there on vacation. I'm not there to go look at the scenes. My mother-in-law told us years ago, she said, you guys travel all the world and you don't see nothing. You need to go to the museums. I said, we're working. I come here. I'm here in meetings, not, I'm going to go, I'll be all afternoon shopping. Well, I said, well, you sure tell, you ain't pulling no load.